Welcome, 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 my friends. It's great to have you back here to Damon Bruce Plus Thursday, January 22nd. I mean, this month is flying right on by. Hopefully, we've got all good microphones officially turned on and we're ready to go here today. Let me know in the comments if everything sounds right to you. You were the ones who clued me in that yesterday we were a little unplugged. I'm glad we're plugged back in here. Thank you for plugging back in. Thank you for being a part of this. And as always, we love to welcome a new member. Look at Mr. Sorenzo, 84, becoming a new member. I mean, that is stepping up to support the channel. Thank you so very, very much. Great to have you. We got a sounds great right off the bat here. Thank you, JR Boy K. Glad we're aboard. Glad that our friend Otis Bird the Third is aboard. And it's great to have you all here. Thanks again for stopping on by. Again, you got some very important planning coming up, right? Hopefully you got some friends coming over for a big, big, big party. We got playoffs. We got all sorts of fun things happening in the world of sports. And when you want to have a good time, you want to have a good time with great food. Right now, speaking of great food, my good friend Ike has got an awful lot of offer for you. Use code SAVE49 and get $49 off any catering order of $250 or more. Delicious sandwiches showing up by the dozen when you go ahead and you order through Ike's Catering. And again, $49 off catering or more. And by the way, this just happens to be a football party or a sports party. Grab this at work. Take advantage of this offer. Be the hero of your office. Use code SAVE49 for $49 off a catering order of $250 or more. And if it's just little old you getting a sandwich, make sure you've signed up for that Love Rewards program. You get a very free sandwich when you sign up. Prizes with every purchase. You know, it's like a frequent flyer card for the best sandwich in the world. And hopefully there's an Ike's near you soon. There is only one Dubliner West Portal. And if you are a San Franciscan, you've been blessed with it. Take Muni to West Portal, Dubliner West Portal. Say hi to Kenny and John. We thank them for being another fantastic sponsor through another really fun football season here. We love you guys at the Dubliner, and we'll see you all there soon for another Plus Mania, which we will be putting together after the football season. But while it is still football season, indeed, there are still games to be won. There's still profit to be enjoyed in. Go ahead and check out how easy and fun and profitable it can be over on Sleeper. Right now, this is the fastest growing app in the world, and you are going to want to check it out. Get a $100 deposit match up to $100 when you use promo code Damon, and you can use the link right in the top of the description of the very video that you are watching right now. So thanks to them. Thanks to you. Thanks to everyone for being here. And let us just hop right into it, because there was a little bit of news, kind of news, that sort of came out of yesterday's See Everybody season wrap-up press conference between Shanahan and John Lynch. You know, Lynch admitted that they probably might have even been in a little bit of a better situation than they were in had they gone ahead and you know, really spent a little bit more in free agency. Had they splashed a little more cash around? Had they done more to bolster the team when that depth really started getting tested? It was good of Lynch to admit kind of what we all knew and know, but at least they're aware of it. You know, I've talked about how maybe John Lynch being bumped up to some honorary type of title where he is more of a forward facing public figure than a real decision maker for personnel might be something that would benefit the 49ers, but it doesn't look like that's about to happen from yesterday. There is no, transition of power that seems to be happening anytime soon. But the one thing that I thought was the most interesting bit of, okay, I guess that's a little bit of news and a tip of the hand of the direction that they plan on going in. As I said just yesterday, I wouldn't go trading Mac Jones unless you gave me a blow me off my rocker offer for Mac Jones. I'm not trading Mac Jones. And they basically said, we can all expect Mac to be back. And I just think that that's the right idea. It's certainly the right public offering at this time to just get that out there, because I think it increases anyone's even attempt to ask of Mac Jones when you basically say, yeah, we're bringing him back. That's how important he is. You know, when you have an insurance policy that you never use, it's hard to see the value in it. you know, you send that monthly check, you're paying your premiums, and it's the ultimate, like, if something bad happens, I'm going to be taken care of. But when nothing bad happens, it feels like a little bit of a waste. You know, insurance only really works for you when you need it to. Well, the minute your house burns down, you're going to be very, very happy that you made that investment in incredible comprehensive coverage, because it's going to be the only thing that saves your bacon. You understand the value of insurance once you go ahead and tap into that policy to actually work for you. And that's what the 49ers just went through with Mac Jones. Their house was burning down. Mac Jones was not only the insurance, but he was basically the fire department that saved the rest of the house as well. And, you know, it's not the best time to come off an insurance policy in the NFL. Look at guys going down everywhere. Look at the amount of injuries that got stacked on top of injuries. I know it really felt like it only happened to the Niners, but that's not true at all. The injuries were rampant in this league, and now they're talking about adding an 18th game, for goodness sakes. So there won't be fewer injuries anytime soon. We all know that. We can all see that with our own two eyes. We're not stupid here. And I don't think the 49ers are stupid. It is not the right time to come off an insurance policy. The Niners' house was burning. They cashed it in. And because of the insurance policy of Mac Jones, this team went to the postseason and won a playoff game. If not for Mac, none of that happens. He got them through what could have easily been the most dire part of the season. Once you lose your starting quarterback for a significant amount of time, if you got to play a significant amount of games with a backup, he better be good. And right now, you know, I don't think you can really argue at any position in football that the Niners have the, without a doubt, number one guy at the position. I don't think Trent Williams is the number one left tackle in football anymore. None of their wide receivers grayed out as the number one wide receiver. George Kittle, unfortunately, you know, he's coming back, going to be damaged goods. I don't think he's going to see a number one ranking. I know Christian McCaffrey had a hell of a year and a hell of a fantasy year as well, but he's not the number one, decidedly undisputed number one back in football. They don't have a number one corner. I mean, I thought that Fred Warner was the number one linebacker in football, but let's see what he comes back as. I wish nothing but the best for Fred, and I would bet that he is probably the most likely to resume to a number one position of anybody on this team, but I don't think it's going to be Bosa. It's certainly none of the young guys developing yet. The number one guy, it wasn't even Pinheiro. You know, you got the dude in Dallas banging 70 yarders, basically. He's your Pro Bowler. So, you know, they don't even have the number one kicker. They don't have the number one punter. They don't have the number one anything except backup quarterback. I really do think that you could make an argument that their QB2 is the number one ranked QB2 in football. So I'm not coming off of that, and I'm certainly putting out there to the general public and to the media and to anyone who's listening, including all remaining NFL teams, that we're not coming off of Mac Jones, which means if you're coming for Mac Jones, you better get your money up, honey. You better get me a monster offer, one that no one could refuse. And that is what I think was set in motion yesterday by that press conference. Mac is very likely to be back. And if anyone's going to come for him, it's going to take more than you thought to get us to come off of this player who we have an incredible amount of faith in and trust in. Now, look, everything's negotiable. We do know that. But I think the 49ers just raised his price. So that was a smart move, I thought, coming out of yesterday's press conference. One of the things that I thought was maybe a little disingenuous, though, and I know that Chase Sr., who I like Chase very much, I know that he was victory lapping this because he was kind of the one who put forward this story about this electrical station being next to the practice facility is maybe a problem, is maybe causing injuries with electromagnetic whatever. I am no scientist, and I'm not even going to start to try to pretend to be one here on YouTube, so forget about that. I look at that, and I think, okay, maybe there's something to it, maybe not, but if there's perception becoming reality, it can't be good. Well, the 49ers know that, And they said that they are starting an investigation. They are going to be running their tests. They are going to be consulting scientists. They are going to be doing their due diligence to find out if indeed this is impacting that. Okay. So my follow-up question would be this. What if your doctor, a second opinion, and three other doctors all come back and say, yeah, this is bad for your football team? Then what are they going to do? What are they going to do? The reason why they built that stadium there, the wrong place to build the stadium, was because it was right next to their practice facility. What are you going to tell me? You're going to move? Wouldn't that be something if they moved the practice facility to San Francisco, but they still went down to Santa Clara to play games? But are they really going to do anything if the results came back conclusively? Yeah, this is bad for your football team. So I don't know if that is just them trying to create an illusion of research and concern, or if they would actually do anything about it if that were really to be proven. This isn't good. Like, I kind of want to see that happen just to see what their reaction would be. Would they bury that? Would they bury that in the name of billions of dollars invested into Santa Clara? I don't know. There's a part of me that is just slightly curious. It's like one of those, like, yeah, I like chaos. What would happen? What would happen if this were really proven, like, oh, yeah, it's hurting your players. You got to move. Then what? What would they do? You know, how would the NFL feel about, you know, a stadium right next to electrical Chernobyl? The least bit of news coming out of yesterday's goodbye, so long, sayonara press conference was that Brandon Ayuk has played his last snap with the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, that is the biggest no duh that could possibly be out there. Not sure we're ever going to get the skinny on what really went down. I don't know. Like, to me, if I were the 49ers, I would be putting Brandon Ayuk out on Front Street. I'd make a little bit of an example of him, even though I could see how that might play poorly with some agents and some players. To me, if me explaining why this guy, after he was given a king's ransom salary, decided to quit on this football team, like, I wouldn't care what the ramifications were. You know, if you were the type of player who was turned off by the team talking about why a player quit on them, you're not the player I want on my roster anyways. So, I you know, we're never going to get that story. But one thing in my mind is for sure, Brandon Ayuk has done himself no favors here. And this guy's value has to be a less than statement from the last billing cycle that he was hoping to cash in on. When the Niners pulled back those guarantees, if that didn't send a shockwave through any general manager's office saying, like, look, the 49ers do not act like all ham-handed and vengeful like this. There's got to be something seriously wrong with that dude. I'm interested in Brandon Ayuk's future. I won't be rooting for it. I'll never root for that guy again. I don't want anything bad to happen to him, but I certainly don't want anything good to happen to him either. I think the guy's a total loser who gave up on a very good situation and did as much to help knock the Niners out of the postseason as any Seattle Seahawk did. You know, this guy could have helped. He decided, I'm not helping. That to me is the worst type of teammate that could ever be found in sports. You know, the needle's back on you. What do? I quit. Well, you suck. You know, I think there is a time for buttoned up professionalism, and I think there's also time to spill the tea. I would love it if the 49ers would come forward and be like, let me tell you why this guy's an asshole. Example 1, 2, and 3. End of story. By the way, we got a super coming in from Joe Sullivan. The internet is where talk show hosts is tomorrow's EMF expert. It's officially hockey season. Go Sharks. Oh, my God. Yeah, we're not going to play the role of scientist here. We're not going to in any way, shape, or form pretend that we are experts in the field of EMT transmission, electrical signals, or even hockey. But I can tell you,
Go Sharks. Go Sharks.
Indeed, Joe. Thank you very much. Yeah, I am not going to be playing expert here in any way, shape, or form. And just for good measure, Donskoy. Thank you. Thank you very much, San Bruno Mike. Again, great to see everybody in here. Thank you so much for stopping on by. The goal of this show will never be to waste a minute of your time. We're not going to drag you through nonsense that you don't need in the name of we got hours to kill, because that ain't how the internet works, baby. No, no, no. We're not going to do that. One more story for you from the Niners press conference yesterday that is the only reaction among 49er fans that I really didn't see. Or I guess I shouldn't say I didn't see it, because there's always going to be some who are going to complain about what they do no matter what they do. Like if Joe Montana's number hadn't already been retired and they're like, we're going to retire Joe Montana's number, there would be somebody out there who would have found a problem with that. Like there's just an element of this fan base that will bitch and moan no matter what. But it was a little bit more than I thought when I saw that the announcement that basically Gus Bradley was about to succeed Robert Saleh as this team's defensive coordinator in 2026. And I'm not sure why there'd be any stress over that, about this in-house promotion for Gus Bradley. I can only imagine that it's because the last in-house promotion was Nick Sorensen. But this is not Gus Bradley's going to be the next guy up, if indeed he is going to be the next guy up, because the Niners have a hunch that he's the right guy for the job, that the 49ers are looking for some consistency here. So they're going to go with their hunch and their gut instinct that he's the right guy for the job and hope that they're right. Because to me, this is the right choice by far. Absolutely by far. And it's not just because of who he is or where he came from, but what he did this year when he was needed to do it desperately. You know, Gus Bradley's a football lifer. He's been in this league with head coaching experience. This is a guy who has been in the league for 16, 17 seasons. I think next year is about to be his 17th or 18th season in the NFL. So he's a lifer. Beyond that, the lead architect of the Legion of Boom defense that won Super Bowls in Seattle. This is a very good coach, and you don't have to go back to your memory banks to remember how well the Legion of Boom played under Gus Bradley to see it. The strength of the 49ers' eternally diminished defense this season was their secondary. Now, I know that they got gashed and gave up a lot of passing yards at times, but don't let those numbers fool you about how well they played and how really that was the strength of a unit that lost its linebacker core thoroughly and certainly lost anyone that really mattered along the defensive line that wasn't a rookie, including their first-round draft pick, rookie Mykel Williams, who went down himself. You know, I like C.J. West and Alfred Collins an awful lot. I really do. But, you know, they were not the strength of this team. The secondary was. Diamador Lenore, Upton Stout, Malik Mustafa. You know, I know Jair Brown got tested a bit, and Marquis Siegel got some good reviews and then some bad reviews and then good review and then a bad review. But, yeah, look, I thought it was the strength of the defense. And that's Gus Bradley's unit back there. So I got no problem at all with Gus Bradley getting promoted to defensive coordinator if that is the move that they're making. It's not that they're like, oh, we just got a hunch and don't want to do our due diligence. And I do think that they're going to go out and talk to a couple people. But Gus Bradley is in the building, knows the players, knows the team, gets along with Shanahan, was last year's assistant head coach. Why not? And I don't mean why not because just why not? Why not? Because I think if he were interviewing from the job externally, he'd be one of the top candidates for the job. You know, maybe Jim Schwartz, maybe I don't, you know, we'll see. I'll believe that when I see it. But I like Gus Bradley a lot. I like Gus Bradley a lot. And again, I got a person saying that was a decade ago. No, this season was not a decade ago. What we just saw with our own two eyes as the 49ers collectively had zero pressure up front, had no linebackers to speak of, still went into the postseason. still went to the postseason, not on the strength of the defense, obviously, but on a bend don't break defense that bent and mostly not broke in that secondary. So I think Gus Bradley's the right guy for the job. You think differently, you go ahead and, you know, complain on the internet. I think it's the hire that the Niners are going to make. The NFL sip of the day, by the way, it was delicious. The NFL draft is in 92 days, boys and girls. I did the math on that for you, so you wouldn't have to. You'd be kind of psychopath to worry about that sort of thing unless you're in a position like I'm in. 92 days from the NFL draft. We are 47 days away from the tampering period of free agency, which we all know is now the beginning of free agency. Just stop calling it the tampering period. Just say this is when free agency begins. Can't sign guys until like 3 days later, but this is when free agency begins. So 47 days from that, evaluating this free agency class is not going to be the sexiest thing to do. There's not a lot of sexy names out there, but that means the devil's going to be in the details. We went over a few players yesterday, and to me, I'm starting with Alec Pierce of the Indianapolis Colts to represent the deep threat this team hasn't been able to draft, develop, or sign or play at all. Go get that guy. And I don't think he's going to cost you an arm and a leg either. Speaking of countdowns, 63 days until baseball's opening day. And baseball's opening day, for the first time that I can remember, is also Giants opening day. It's the rare Giants home opener. It is going to be against the New York Yankees. It's going to be on Netflix. And it's going to be on a day that I'm not going to soon forget, because baseball's opening day is my birthday this year, March 25th. That feels really early to open a season. But okay, the Yankees at the Giants on March 25th, we are 63 days away from that. I remember when opening day and the first game of opening day, like the first pitch of every season, happened in Cincinnati. You know, it'd be the Reds opening at home. And since they were the first professional team in Major League Baseball, they would play the first game of the season. But again, tradition just does not matter really around sports anywhere these days. And I guess my Indiana Hoosiers are a part of ushering in that official, everything that you knew about sports is upside down now, with my Hoosiers winning the national championship. And let me just say one more thing about it. I mean, I'm sure I'm going to continue to talk about it somehow, some way. We'll be sneaking it into shows. But I've actually been asked on Facebook, on Twitter, been asked a couple of places, even, you know, on YouTube comments. Like, Damon, I really thought that you would be making more of this. I'm surprised you're not, like, putting out an Indiana won a national championship video every 3 hours. Well, again, I shot a lot of videos and YouTube shorts right from the game itself. So that's kind of my contribution to the social media explosion on Indiana's championship. But the reason why I haven't been talking about it more is because I feel like the best quality of me as a broadcaster, I'm not a newsbreaker. I'm not trying to be a beat writer. I think what I do is offer perspective and angles. I've been around the block a few times. You know, the world gets fascinated by shapes and colors. I'm looking for angles. And because I'm not some 24-year-old new person, you know, I've got perspective that someone younger than me could not have. I haven't had to use any of my magic tricks to add perspective to how special Indiana's football season once was. It's one of the rare stories in sports, especially in football, especially in college football, where bragging rights are never relinquished to another team. You know, fan bases like to hold on to their traditions and their bragging rights and don't want to say about any other school, like, yeah, that might have been the best most exciting, most unbelievable, hard to see coming story of all time. But it does seem like the entire world gets it. Now, there are a few outliers who are just desperate for attention or trying so hard to be the salmon swimming upstream that they just look stupid doing it. There's always going to be one or two people out there dumping on anything that's good. But there are literally only one or two people out there. Like, even Paul Feinbaum issued a mea culpa that sort of looked like a hostage video as he was doing it. But it seems like I didn't have to offer my perspective. 99.5% of sports fans and 99.7% of sports media gets what just happened. This is the single greatest sports story ever born, possibly on American soil. In terms of what you used to be then and what you are now, there's no comp. And not only is there no comp, but there is essentially nothing that could come behind it and offer comparison. What we just saw crowned in the 2026 College Football National Championship is a moment in time that will stand the test of time, that has redefined the time of every season that preceded it, as this is now the most special story we think we've ever seen. So I haven't been required. I haven't been needed. Like, I've been personally enjoying this so much that I really don't care what anybody else thinks about it. And then when you're telling me that 9.5 out of 10 people are in complete and total agreement with me, like, yeah, that was incredibly special and wonderful, and there's really nothing to debate anymore, and that was awesome, and Mendoza delivered on a Heisman trophy in a way very few Heisman winners ever had. The Heisman winner usually does not go on to win a national championship. It doesn't seem that anybody who knows anything about this sport has much to say about, nah, that wasn't special. So I'm not needed. Everyone gets it. When everyone comprende, you don't need me to translate. So thank God. Thank God. Because, again, I would have gotten angry trying to having to explain to people how special this was, but the world does seem to get it. And in a world that is just divided, forget about political division. Big Ten versus SEC division is as nasty. Even SEC honks are like, yeah, that was the most special thing we've ever seen. It's amazing. Little old Indiana. Not too little anymore. All right. Change of subject. Are you ready?
Oy, oy, oy!
The Golden State Warriors have painted themselves into the corner of a bad situation and have only watched it get worse in real time, especially over the last 72 hours or so. Let's talk about Kuminga. Let's talk about Kerr. Let's talk about Curry, and let's talk about options. Kuminga played for the Golden State Warriors for the first time in the first game that they didn't have Jimmy Butler. It's the first time we've seen Kuminga play in 16 games. Kerr benched him for 16 straight games after Kuminga essentially jaked an injury 17 games ago when he was asked to come in and play for a shorthanded Warrior team. He's like, no, my thyroid's hurting. My ovaries are acting up. My gonectogizoink is all out of whack. You know, like, Kuminga was inventing injured body parts that I don't even think he has. And that broke what I think is any faith and trust in, not that Kerr had any really to begin with, but I really think that was the moment where Kerr and Kuminga are just like, look, it's basketball hate. It's not real interpersonal hate. But as far as basketball hate goes, yeah, I hate this guy. I think Kerr hates that guy. I think Kuminga hates Kerr. And when he was asked to play and didn't, we haven't seen him 16 games in a row. Then finally, Jimmy Butler, done. So Kerr goes back to him. And to me, there's absolutely no coincidence in Kuminga playing and, you know, it being in garbage time because the Raptors were good. He scored 21 points in 20 minutes. Whatever their plans were to trade him, I think they might be different now. I think they've been altered by the Jimmy Butler injury. They now have a Kuminga need, regardless of his lack of fit or whatever Steve Kerr says is the reason why he is rendered unplayable. And I think that there might also be a little bit of a backdoor communication going on and a little usurping of coaching power from Steve Kerr by Joe Lacob himself. Like, I wonder if Joe Lacob has not called Jonathan Kuminga's agent and just said, look, you know who's got a brighter future with the Golden State Warriors? Steve Kerr or Jonathan Kuminga? It's Jonathan Kuminga. Again, the relationship has been nothing but sour grapes. Don't let another single message that anyone tries to send you confuse you. These guys did not like each other. I honestly didn't think that Kuminga was going to hit the court even when Jimmy Butler got injured. I thought, well, now they actually need to play him, but I didn't think Kuminga would. I didn't think Kuminga would risk an injury right before the trade that he has, again, demanded. He's demanded a trade. Okay. Jonathan Kuminga might not be dealt. And I think the clearest sign of that is the story that then Logan Murdoch came out with the day after Kuminga played. This feels like there are no coincidences. This feels like there was a little bit of a leak. This feels like, you know, and Logan Murdoch of The Ringer has been around the Warriors since long before he joined The Ringer. So he knows the right people to get back channel information through. And he wrote, Steve Kerr's future with the Golden State Warriors remains uncertain as he enters the final year of his contract without a new agreement in place. Multiple assistant coaches are operating under the assumption that Steve Kerr will not return next season, according to team sources. That's from Logan Murdoch in The Ringer. To me, the fact that that comes out not even 24 hours after Jonathan Kuminga gets back out on the court for the Golden State Warriors, I don't think that that's a coincidence. I think that there's something there. Remember, Kuminga is a Lacob guy. And Joe Lacob, who obviously has been right about the Warriors from a business standpoint to the tune of they're the most valuable franchise in the NBA, after recently also being the Golden State Warriors, which, you know, 20 years ago was a laughingstock. I think the only thing that Joe Lacob, you know, what do you get for the guy who's already got everything? I think the only thing that Joe Lacob wants is to be right about one player he has steered this team into. He was wrong about Jonathan Wiseman. He was wrong. He's been wrong about Kuminga. He's been wrong. His hunches, his kids' hunches, they have not worked. I think he really wants to be right about Jonathan Kuminga. I think Joe Lacob wants Steve Kerr gone after this year and has sort of leaned into Team Kuminga and say, guess who's going to be here next year? It ain't going to be him, which means it still could be you. That's just my hunch. That's just my hunch. Steve will be gone next year, and I'm going to give you a coach that actually plays you. I don't think that that's very far-fetched. I don't. I think that there is friction between Kerr and this front office and ownership that was not even there 3 months ago. It's because of Jonathan Kuminga. This team twiddled its thumb for 2 years because of either a total lack of interest in the rest of the NBA trading for Kuminga or a reluctance on Joe Lacob's part of doing the deal because this was supposed to be the secession plan. Not that I think it ever will be, but I do think in a weird way, you know, Lacob is trying to put the triangle through the square hole. I'm sure there's a better way to say that, but you know what I mean? The square peg round hole. That's what I was trying to say. Square peg round hole. To me, there are no coincidences when someone is dialed in as much as Logan Murdoch is to backdoor knowledge of this franchise and him coming out with that story, you know, hours after Kuminga plays, after Kuminga was either being denied with coach DMPs or just told this franchise, I ain't playing for you anymore. Why do you think, I mean, Jonathan Kuminga just watched one of his teammates get hurt. If that didn't remind him of how quickly all of this can be taken away from you, what possibly could? You would think that Jimmy Butler tearing his ACL would make Kuminga even more reluctant to play. But he went out and he played. I'm wondering if there isn't already one of these guys isn't going to be here next year, Jonathan. And it's going to be Steve. Steve's gone. You stay. You are on scholarship. You're on Lacob scholarship. I wonder. I wonder. Now, look, when it comes to Jimmy Butler, there's zero future in Jimmy Butler. I hate to say it. You know, we hardly got to know you, Jimmy. In the little bit that we did see, we only saw one playoff game out of Jimmy Butler. There's zero future in Jimmy Butler. I don't know if he plays another game for the Warriors. I don't think he even represents value, true value for them, if he did, more than the value that he would represent as a max level expiring contract. Some team out there is going to be interested in a possible trade because they're about to go through a full rebuild. And that's a really nice expiring contract to have on the books. So I wonder if we ever see Jimmy Butler play for the Warriors again. And even if he did, that's not going anywhere. I mean, I told you this before guys got hurt. You know, I told you this over a year ago. Like, the championship run is over, folks. It's not coming back. It's not coming back with the way that this team is built. And I got to be honest with you. Draymond really has no future. He's still got a little bit of a presence, but he has no real future. And the rest of the guys on this team are the walking definition of just guys. I'm sorry, it kills me to say it, but Pajemski, Moody, Healed. Like, there's nothing really special anywhere. You know, Melton is not going to be a cornerstone of the future. I hate to say it, Trayce Jackson-Davis is less than just a guy. There isn't a trade out there to save this. There won't be a draft pick that's going to come in and save this. There just isn't. But Lacob's saving face on the Kuminga decision is still out there. And I think Lacob is so desirous of having not just business respect, but basketball respect, he's going to try to make this happen. I don't think he's going to trade Jonathan Kuminga all of a sudden. I think Kerr's gone. I think Kuminga stays. Now, I might be wrong about all of that. I'm sure you'll remind me of this live stream if I am. There's a crowd out there that I know is already going, but Giannis. Giannis could be the guy. Giannis could be the guy. Not really. It would just put the Warriors in a new version of the same problem. They wouldn't have enough. Look, in order to actually trade for Giannis, you'd have Steph in his NBA grandfather years. Draymond in his tank is absolutely running out of gas years. And I'm telling you, Giannis is not far away from being an old guy himself. As a matter of fact, he's drifting into that right now. you know, there's a lot of tread off his tires too. So yeah, you'd have Steph Curry, Draymond, and Giannis, but around them, you would have nothing. You'd have a poo-poo platter of G Leaguers. I mean, it would, you know, Pat Spencer, come on down. You're the starting two guard, buddy. That's not going to get you contention. It's just not. Again, all three of those guys together would allow you to sell, look at our big three. But the, you know, 10, 11 guys around the big three would be nobodies. They'd have no depth. They would be in a different brand of trouble, maybe slightly more star-powered based trouble, but they'd be in trouble nevertheless. They're stuck. They're stuck. They wouldn't be any better than they are now. They'd just be a little different. They won't be a title contender. And that's honestly the way I feel about it. It's a bad situation. And when you spend way too many years making half-measure moves and not taking a big swing, you're in a situation where you're now like a, you know, 30-ish, 40-ish win NBA kind of team, and that's the worst place to be. You know, you're just good enough to flirt with the playoffs, but not good enough to contend, which means you're not going to get a ring, you're not going to go far in the postseason, and you're not going to get a very good draft pick when it's all said and done. That's a bad place to be in the NBA. Middled. And the Warriors are about as middled as humanly possible right now. Bwomp, bwomp. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's just, to me, that's the reality of all this. We got too much sauce saying, what's up with Kerr and Kyle sidelining competent players? And their justification during pressers when asked are absolutely insane. Yeah, you can feel the river of bullshit. I mean, you're swimming in it every single time you ask anybody involved. And, you know, I heard Draymond the other day saying, you know, oh, no, there's nothing wrong behind the scenes. You know, it's just, you're just looking at some NBA static, but there's really nothing wrong behind the scenes. Get out of here. Get out of here. There's nothing wrong behind the scenes. You got a young, talented, maybe not perfect fit, but young and talented asset that you're just letting depreciate in real time against your own best interests out of spite. You know, unless Steph Curry stood up one day in the locker room and was like, fuck this guy. I don't want to be on the court with him. I don't want to see him. Fuck that guy. Which we all know Steph Curry has never done. It's insane that they haven't figured this out. It's insane that they haven't been able to reach an accord that at least satisfies the moment, not sabotages the moment out of principles. Yeah, well, he doesn't rotate over enough on defense. Who on this team does? I mean, it's the whole thing is nuts to me. The Jordan trade, the Jordan Poole trade. Yeah, must be trouble. It's been a mess. Lakers' decisions have not been good. Nothing to see here. Yeah, seriously. It's the nothing to see here naked gun moment. Hand banana, stuck in the middle with you. Yeah, they're middled, man. The Warriors are desperately middled. Again, Pat Spencer, been put on the end of the bench. Well, again, Pat Spencer, one of the good feeling, good stories. This is actually kind of working moments of the season. Totally gone now. Now, look, here's the thing that really kind of sucks. With Jimmy, over like their last 16, 18 games, even with Kuminga getting benched, they'd been playing good basketball, which is the corner that Steve Kerr would duck behind to explain why Kuminga wasn't getting more minutes. Well, we're winning with the current group that we got and blah, 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 blah. Well, the winning's about to come to a screeching halt. And it feels like, you know, whatever touch Steve Kerr had, he's out of touch. He's out of touch. He's a little bit dug into his own ways for his own good. That includes player rotation. I think that includes game strategy. Again, Steve Kerr is coaching a team that he doesn't have anymore. He is coaching the same team that, you know, this isn't the Splash Brothers anymore. You're not 6 years younger all of a sudden. And it feels like he just didn't, for a guy who literally implemented a new way to play basketball with the Warriors motion offense and the Splash Brothers, it feels like he is not evolving beyond that moment. And asking for a full, you know, evolve, a full evolution to happen twice in the same coach's tenure with a franchise, like, that's a big ask. Like, it's you can only really invent the iPhone once. It's not Apple's fault that they're not changing the way the entire world communicates every year, like the year that the iPhone came out and just took over the world. You can't do that again and again and again and again and again and again and again. So it's rough out there on NBA streets. And if you're getting older and you're getting hurt, it's only going to get rougher. Are Kyle Shanahan, Bill Walsh, and Steve Kerr the top three Bay Area coaches of all time? That's the list. And if you need your fourth, it's Bruce Bochy. There you go. But, well, and here's the thing. Kyle's not there yet. I mean, let's be honest. But Bill Walsh, Steve Kerr, Bruce Bochy, John Madden. Maybe John Madden. I think that's it. That's your list. I mean, look, I'm a big Shanahan guy, but no. He's not there yet. You gotta have a pelt on the wall to be on that list. You have to. All right. Never gonna waste your time. Let's get to today in history, and then this show will be a part of history. We start with our happy birthdays, and happy birthday to one of the single greatest male vocalists, distinct, unique, wonderful voice, sadly silenced by some throat issue. That's why you get Korean Journey now with the guy who does a hell of a Steve Perry impression. Because you just couldn't go forward without a Steve Perry impression if you didn't have Steve Perry. Steve Perry, 77 years old today. Happy birthday to former Journey frontman Steve Perry. And I'm still going to tell you right now, Oh Sherry is a banger. Should have been gone! Knowing how I made you feel. Oh, it's a great song. It should have been gone. That's a great song. Yep, there it is, Corporal Tez. Yeah, George Seifert, I think, rounds out your top four if you needed four. Again, pelts on the wall. Pelts on the wall. Christopher, Journey fucks. happy 61st birthday. Very good actress, beautiful woman, Diane Lane. Diane Lane, 61 years old. Happy 54th birthday to someone I always really enjoyed. And I'm not saying that he is some culinary expert, but I like his personality. I like his show. Happy birthday, Guy Fieri. 54 years old. Only 54. I thought Guy was a little bit older than that. 54 years old, Guy Fieri. And another one of those, like, wow, I can't believe she is that young. All that she's done, the impact she has had on not just her sport, but the sports world. Caitlin Clark is only 24 years old. Happy birthday, Caitlin Clark. She couldn't even come and save the Warriors right now. There's no saving this. This is over. All right. History. Today in 1901, Queen Victoria, long may she reign. Well, that reign came to an end for more than 60 years. And she was the Queen of England when England was at its absolute apex predator prime. I mean, the sun never set on the British Empire under Queen Victoria. She passed away today in 1901. In 1905, on a day that would be known as Bloody Sunday, Russian workers were marching on St. Petersburg, and they were fired upon by Russian troops. Now, if you're saying, wait a minute, is that where the saying Bloody Sunday came from? Yes, but it's not the Bloody Sunday that U2 was singing about. That was another Bloody Sunday. That happened in Northern Ireland in 1972 when British soldiers, easy for me to say, shot civilians. And that's where you get the U2 song, Sunday, Bloody Sunday. Today in 1946, the creation of the CIA. It was known as the Central Intelligence Group. Now it's the Central Intelligence Agency, obviously, most famous agent being Clarice Starling, of course. But happy birthday, CIA. Today in 1947, KTLA, legendary station, started operating in Hollywood. KTLA, one of the biggest radio brands still to this day on the West Coast. Today in 1968, Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In debuted on NBC. Now, you go back and you look at Laugh-In, it's an incredibly dated show, but there's an awful lot of stars that grew from that moment. Ruth Buzzy, definitely one of them. But Goldie Hawn was basically discovered on Laugh-In. Let's see. Oh, how about this? Today in 1984. Apple's 1984 advertisement ran nationally once, and it happened during Super Bowl 18, which, by the way, the LA Raiders beat the Redskins. Marcus Allen is still running in that game. He won MVP and at the time put up a rushing record, Super Bowl rushing record of 191 yards. I think that fell in three consecutive Super Bowls. It was John Riggins going for $160 the year before for the Redskins. Then it was Marcus Allen. Then I can't remember the next year. It was maybe Terry Smith, maybe? But he went for like 200. But there you go. That was Apple's 1984 advertisement. We're sort of living in that advertisement right now. But even more importantly than 1984, the Raider, by the way, that was the Raiders' last Super Bowl win. CBS ran the pilot episode because after every single Super Bowl, there's a big rollout of a big new show. Airwolf. Yeah. I loved Airwolf. When I was a kid, there was a moment in the mid-80s where helicopters were like the stars of the show. You had Airwolf and you had Blue Thunder. Blue Thunder was a big movie. Then it became a TV show. Then now another network needs another TV show. Let's go with Airwolf. I was a big Airwolf guy. Sam Bruno Mike, Airwolf. Yeah, see, you know. Tell me you're the same age as me in one single text. You just did, Sam Bruno Mike. By the way, Corporal Tez, yeah. Goldie Hawn on Laugh-In, super cute. Dude, Goldie Hawn right now is still super cute. She's a gorgeous woman, man. And funny. Goldie Hawn's always been funny. And to me, a sense of humor, sexy. I guess that's why I've always found Dave Chappelle so sexy. Today in 2003, Chappelle Show debuted on Comedy Central. When we talk about the most important TV shows that debuted during my lifetime, Chappelle Show has to be one of them. And I know that ultimately it didn't work out well for him. Like, it, you know, that's why he disappeared for a little while. I'm glad Dave Chappelle is back now as a stand-up comedian. To me, Dave Chappelle is like a modern Mark Twain. He's so important for free speech. I love Dave Chappelle. And whether or not you do or do not like Dave Chappelle or think he told maybe one too many trans jokes for your taste, I think the guy's absolutely brilliant. Brilliant. And Chappelle's Show was officially, I mean, there wasn't even a close second, funniest thing on television for a 2-3 year run right there. And it was indisputable how great that television show was. I love Chappelle's Show. Absolutely loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. Today, in 2006, you want to talk about time moving fast. Today in 2006, Kobe Bryant put 81 on the Toronto Raptors. 81 points, 2 assists. He managed to pass the ball twice that night. Kobe had 81. It's amazing how few points really came from the 3-point line of that 81. He was all over the free throw line and he was all over the rack that night. 6 boards, 1 block, 81 points, the second highest scoring game in NBA history. And it also gave us this, the only lingering moment. I swear to God, ESPN, if you file a copyright claim on this, screw you. I'll never play another highlight on your show, on my show ever again. Jalen Rose had a very short run show on ESPN that was called Jalen versus Everybody. I don't even know how many episodes it got. The only thing that anyone remembers, I think the only moment from that show that exists, is this moment. And this is, to me, one of the single funniest moments in the history of ESPN doing anything. I've got to play it for you right here.
Jalen.
Oh, no. Hey, Cole, how you doing? How retirement treating you?
It's great, man. It's great. Just, you know, a little writing, a little investing.
Nice. So I don't know if you saw the thing on Twitter about your statue.
You know, I don't pay attention to that stuff.
Yeah, I figured that. Me either.
A drink, Mr. Bryant?
Yeah, I'll have a vodka martini.
How many olives would you like?
81.
Really?
Nah, man, I'm just playing. Just 2. Joke for him. He gets it.
Joke for him. He gets it. That's great. So, like, Jalen was guarding Kobe that night poorly. He wasn't out there for all 81. There were a few switch-offs. I mean, at some point, Jalen was waving dudes over. Like, anybody else want to give this a try? But Jalen took at least 60 of that 81, at least. And that's absolutely one of the funniest things that ever came out of Bristol ESPN. That was great. And just look, it would have been really interesting to see what Kobe's post-basketball career would have been. He was a talented guy, man. He could deliver his comedic timing, and that is phenomenal. Phenomenal. Anyway, that is it, boys and girls. Oh, I will let you also know today, because that little vignette with Jalen Rose and Kobe had a lot of hot sauce on it. Today is National Hot Sauce Day. I'm a big fan of hot sauce to a point. Like, I like a nice spicy hot sauce to complement my food, not overpower it and rearrange my DNA. Like, that's that. There's a level of hot sauce dare that I just refuse to go to. I'm not you like, no, you're not like, you're not going to force me to do 21 shots on my 21st birthday. I've been drinking since I was like 17 years old. We had nothing to do in upstate New York. So we started early. So everyone's like, oh, you're a man now. You're going to get 21 shots for your 21st birthday. I was like, my ass. I'm going to go have a really nice bottle of whiskey and share it with some friends and have a nice meal. And that's just, dude, I'm just, the hot sauce, like, dare? I'm not into that. But a little nice hot sauce? Yeah, I like it. I like it. Little tapatio, you know, it doesn't even have to be a Tabasco. There's a few others. Frank's Red Hot. It's almost not even hot enough. Anyways, there you go. I really, truly appreciate you being a part of this show today. Thanks to everyone who watched. Thanks for everyone who's commented. Thanks for the supers. Thanks to our new member. Thanks to all of you. Pal Sam Batesh will be by for a Friday show as we wrap up this week. It feels like a short week for me again because I was in Miami celebrating a national championship for the Hoosiers on Monday night. And I still look at the bounce that Indiana's gotten off of that. They're still like the fourth topic on every single sports talk show in America. Who would have ever thought? Unbelievable. Thank you so much for watching. It was great having you here. And please do remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it. And like that, he's gone.